and welcome to Marooned at MacBytes headquarters. A day
348.
I think that's the only one I've got right this week. I was 100 out yesterday and a couple of out the other days. How are we all doing? In the chat, I'm going to have a look. My money's on young Jonathan.
Kimmy.
Oh, yes,
Kim. I know what you've been up to.
I know, because Mike told me.
I was checking everything.
We mustn't give away what Kim's been up to. We must let young Jonathan find out for himself. Which should be a big clue, Jonathan. What were you doing? Checking everything.
I was checking everything at 5 o'clock this morning.
Like he does. That's just weird, Mike.
No, it's not.
It's valuable bedtime, that.
I was sending the email.
Oh, right. That's because I was behind with everything, but there
click,
you go.
I had to click the link on the email to check it.
Right.
And what happened when I did?
See, look. Young Jonathan said, sorry, what have I missed? Well, Jonathan, Kim has been up to mischief. What could Kim possibly have done, Jonathan?
Winner, winner.
Chicken dinner. Anyway, good evening, Jonathan. Hello, Paul. Hello, Kim. Listening and getting into trouble. There you go. Jonathan has discovered it. The duplicity of it.
Kim's making dinner.
Giggling away to herself, I would suspect. Oh, do you want to put everyone out of their misery? Or should we let Jonathan do it?
No, I was...
I've got to say hello to everybody. So, hello, Tony. Hello, Alex. Hello, Renee. Right, carry on now.
11:17 p.m. Was it then?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't see it till 5 o'clock this morning because I was scheduling the email. And I obviously checked the link on the email and I clicked on the link in the email and I went through to YouTube and there it was. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
It's a race to see who gets into the chat first. Obviously, it's a daily game on Marooned, but on After Hours, it's a weekly thing. I would say up to a couple of weeks back, you were fairly safe any time in the sort of 20 minutes before the show.
Yeah.
But, oh, Kim has raised the stakes enormously, having got in last night.
Johnny's going to lay claim to next week's. Not that he can.
No, he can't. No. Aha, you see. I have to make it public for that to happen. Now, is the one for next week open yet? No, Jonathan, it's not. Should I open it and see who can get in there first?
It's like run around, isn't it?
Jonathan won't remember that. He was minus 20.
Was that last night we were talking
about? No, minus 10.
Was it last night we were talking about it?
I think it was last night or the night before. Run around. Love it. Right, is the one for next week open? Short answer to that, no. I'm pondering how easy that would be. It's one of the jobs I do after the show. So normally the next one is open, possibly within an hour of the last one finishing.
Johnny will be asleep then.
But you see...
And it'll be in the middle of Kim's day. So.
Exactly. Kim would have a huge advantage
unless
there,
Johnny stays up.
Unless Jonathan stays up. But I would have thought the magic two words in the email for After Hours tonight would have Jonathan wide awake anyway. Let me have a look. Let me see what I can do with next week's. See who can get there first. See, Jonathan's poised now. Where would you have to go to find it, though, Jonathan? This is the thing. Let me have a look. I know when it'll be open, Jonathan. Silly, silly me. When you least expect it.
It'll be open when we get an iKettle review.
Oh, yes. That's a thought. Don't pressure the lad or he'll start wondering where the next MacBytes is.
Waiting for the iKettle review.
No, that'll just put pressure on us. Don't do it, Mike. Don't go there. Oh dear. Right.
We love you really, Johnny.
Of course we do. We love all the MacBytes. You're amazing. Who has seen the story of the week?
Which one?
The one that I've been predicting for years, which looks like it's about to happen, or at least upcoming.
No.
No. No. No. Let me find it. Let me find it and share it with you. Hang on. Are you licking Daddy's box down there? Daddy's box of papers or your feet? It was my feet, Mummy. It was my feet.
Probably your feet.
Right. Let me find the link in here. Right. There's the link. Okay. Now I just need to put that somewhere. Oh, a burger Zoom party. That sounds fabulous, Sarah. Quite fancying a burger. I've been depriving myself all week. That's the problem. How can I get on the email list? I've signed up for both 3-4 weeks ago and had nothing.
Oh,
are you sure you've confirmed, Tony? Because they get out. There's a mail every day on MacBytes.
I will go and check the lists.
Right. Here we go. Final Cut Pro software subscriptions. What do we think of that? I can tell you my thoughts on that instantly. Apple potentially doing an Adobe and charging for software. Oh, she's going to have a chip butty as well. Oh, good grief. Ooh. I was talking about chips the other day because I don't eat potato. But
Alex is now second in after hours.
Oh, we got another one in.
Yeah.
Jonathan can't see the price. Well, as much as the market will bear, Jonathan. That's what Adobe say. When pushed on why Creative Cloud is different prices in different geographies, the answer is they will charge whatever the market can bear, which basically means they will squeeze you until you bleed.
It might be the price of a cup of coffee, or it might be the price of a tweetbot.
It might be the price of a cup of coffee, or it might be the price of one of those George Clooney coffee machines, which I think is 2 kidneys and a liver. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Tony, check your emails, check your spam, because it's showing you as pending. Like Elaine says, you'll need to confirm.
We have to have a double opt-in for GDPR. So what happens is you sign up and we send you an email that says, are you sure you want to sign up to this list? And until you actually click the link in that email, you are not actually subscribed. You are in a pending state. Think of it as the waiting room. I thought you would have seen that, Paul, and it's got bad implications beyond Final Cut, because traditionally Apple have used software to drive hardware sales. So you could go get your iMac, and if you then had to pay in a year £600 for Creative Cloud, you need to find that money on top of it. But, you know, Apple were... If you bought Final Cut, I paid for Final Cut $49.99, which was in 2011. I've not paid anything since. So I've definitely had my money's worth out of it, but that's not the point. It's the expectation now, which was what we said when they made the OS updates free. The first one was like, oh, we're not charging you. Oh, that's nice. That's cool. But then the expectation was, how could they ever charge again? Now, what they were doing in their way, it wasn't worth their while charging $29.99, because if they make the upgrade free, it will drive hardware sales for people where they can't put the latest and greatest on. And it's there and it's free. And then you know, to get free, they'll spend $3,000 on an iMac. So it really wasn't worth their while. I would have thought, well, clearly at the time, same held true with all of their applications. But now it looks like, because this is a patent application, if you've not read it, where they've got Final Cut Pro, but they've added to it a status of subscription-based software. Now, there's lots of different options when it comes to that. What are you doing here? Hey? They could grandfather everybody who's already got it permanently. They could provide... kind of upselling to... Is she having a treat?
She's having a treat.
Oh, you're having a treat, Lola.
She's having a Kim Endorse.
Oh, it's a red one as well. A dentist stick. And it's a red dentist stick. I want a paw, though. Paw. Come on. Paw. Good girl. There you go. There's your dentist stick. I'm not going on my mat. No. Mummy's moved her bed. She's not happy. I had to move the bed to get the laptop in. Why was I putting the laptop in? Because I needed to get the webcams in. Why am I putting the webcams in? Oh, unboxing! So, as I was saying, they could provide kind of up services where you get extra bits, but the core is there. It's already £399, I believe, and some people who've bought it in the last week are steaming angry. And it's only a suggestion at this point. But I think we all know where that Apple are going, don't we? Which is give us all your money. So that Apple One subscription, there's no way I am ever taking that. It's tripe. And if I see one more advert telling me that I need to get my arcade 3 months free, I will spit. That to me is like invasive advertising. In fact, I'm surprised nobody's taken them for that, because that was the objection with Microsoft. Nobody else could do that on your iOS device, only Apple. Not on at all. I'm getting messages, I'm getting notifications. I log into the App Store and it's arcade, arcade, arcade. So could we see an Apple One Plus-based software thing where you'd get Final Cut and who knows what they'll do with Pages, Numbers and Keynote? I hope it's not the Tesco man. I hope it's the Tesco lady, the Wendy lady, or Lola's not going to be happy. Mind you, when we said that, she's got a dentist stick. So, Wendy, dentist stick. Ah, closure on thing. So, what do we think of that? No doubt it'll be the price of a cup of coffee. But, you know, Apple's price of a cup of coffee and the real price, I'm with you, Jonathan, a coffee shop. Possibly a bean plantation. Oh, we did catch you, Kim. We did. Let's see what next week brings. Let's see who's on the ball for next week. Paul's not happy. Do you use Final Cut Pro, Paul? Is it something that you use? Hello, Anthony. Do you know, Paul, so many people in the comments said, I'll just shift to DaVinci Resolve then. There's quite a few free video apps now. To be honest, I don't really see many people needing beyond ScreenFlow or Camtasia. And ScreenFlow is like 100. And I know there are updates, but that's up to you. You could definitely get away with maybe every third update. Apple are in Jonathan's bad books. I won't be spending any money on software. Ooh, is this something new they've done, Jonathan, or is it this that they've done? Because this just shows you the way they're going. It's disgusting. The caps lock on the Apple keyboard stopped working. 90 minutes on the chat with Apple today to get them to sort it out. Is it sorted, Jonathan? Oh, Kim's happy Affinity is on Windows in case you have to switch back. Oh, Renee. Renee uses it, and even the owner of the Dutch Final Cut Pro user group. Maybe you can send some feedback that people don't like subscription software. It never ends well. It is the way every software is going, and I blame Apple. It's as simple as that. Adobe were big enough to do it on their own, and that's up to them. You know, if you don't like it, use Affinity, which is amazing. I mean, I was in Photoshop yesterday. Don't ask. It didn't end well. And I'm sitting there thinking, why do I pay for this? And we all know the answer to that, don't we, Jonathan? Why do I pay for Photoshop? I've got another red dentist stick. And if we don't tell Daddy, and no one in the chat tells Daddy, then you could have it. Come on, give me the other paw. That paw. Oh, if there's no paw, there's no treat. Come on. Oh, okay, then I'll have that one. There you go. Now, eat that much that you're absolutely stuffed and can't move. What do you mean you're throwing it on the floor? You barking mad dog. Oh, she's had a day today. Right, let's have a look. You sent them a picture of it and they still couldn't find it. Paul says, nope, couldn't afford the price yet on ScreenFlow at the moment. To be honest, I mean, it's a good editor, don't get me wrong. And Premiere is a good editor. I just don't think any of them are that much better that they warrant the price difference. And I know I'm in a very fortunate position. You know, I've got the Adobe Suite, but I I actively choose to edit in Camtasia. Now, I will admit, 99% of what I do is screen recordings anyway. So why bother converting it and then taking it somewhere else to do absolutely nothing special with it? So there is that about it. But I you know, a lot of people that I know that make courses use Premiere. I don't use Premiere. Premiere sat there. I could if I wanted, but I choose not to. Same with Photoshop. I choose to use Affinity Photo in design. Unless I'm absolutely up against a wall, I'll use Publisher. And Illustrator, just don't go there. Me and Illustrator, we don't get on. I can use it. I just don't like it. It's weird. It's got a very odd interface that doesn't seem to match the other apps. Now, you're never going to get that with Affinity because they are from the same code base. So it's very, very powerful, and I know Simon loves it. But me, no. I just don't like Illustrator. So I live in Designer. Designer and Publisher are where I spend most of my time. Photo, I would use, you know, to deal with one particular photo. But I'm much more likely to do it with the Studio Link system, where I kind of activate Photo and then go back to whatever I was doing. Tonight's going to be quite different because I'm actually doing an Affinity Photo demo like last week. And, you know, you are in Affinity Photo. That's really unusual for me. But I would actually choose to use some of the other apps. Same with Logic Pro. I've got Logic Pro. I've used Logic Pro to edit the show. I've used Adobe Audition to edit the show. Of the two, Audition was probably better for what I do. But I use Hindenburg because it's for spoken word and it's perfect. And, you know, Hindenburg on its own, in the pro version, £300-odd, something like that. It's worth every penny. Every penny makes the difference between getting the job done and not getting the job done. Even though when you look at it, you think it's got no features. Where are the features? Because the other applications are so feature heavy. But, you know, if you don't use them, what's the point? So will it stop people using their software? Could well do. Could well do. The next thing it'll be a subscription, but, you know, per machine. Apple just want to gouge us at the moment, and I really don't appreciate that. It's fast getting to the point, isn't it, where it's like, the sooner Tim Cook's gone, the better. Get somebody in with the vision of Steve Jobs who would be prepared to give the software away, and then we wouldn't mind paying premium for the hardware because we know we're going to get complete compatibility and stuff. The other problem with it is they're not exactly. If you think about iWork 09, yes, 09. 09, 12 years ago, was fantastic. They ripped half the features out, just like they did with Final Cut, and then their idea was, we'll build it back up. And people who have stuck with Final Cut seem to be quite happy with it now. I am still not happy with iWork. Not only have they not added the features back that it had 12 years ago. You okay?
No, I'm knackered.
Oh, I only had one daddy until Mummy gave me the second.
One what?
Dentist stick.
Really?
Yes. But she did throw it on the floor in disgust because she wants that mat the other way round. Can you turn it round for her? Because we're not going to get any peace until we've turned it round. I had to move it for the webcam. It'll need to just push up against that leg, I think.
Right.
It's not as good as we can get.
Yes.
No, it's not. Push it back.
Right, there we go.
There we go. Right. The bed's back where it was.
Who moved my cheese?
Yes. She wouldn't sit on it because I turned down. It round.
Down, there we go. God, feng shui.
Oh, dig, dig me. No, iWork, just not what it was, hasn't. I mean, the features they've added, like collaboration, just don't go there. We've had to actually, I mean, I shared a file with you, didn't I? Then Mike lost access to it, so I shared it again. Then he lost access to it. I said, oh, for crying out loud, put it on Dropbox. And that's what we ended up doing because it just doesn't work. If they'd added the features back and I could ignore the collaborative stuff. So basically just take us back to where we were in 09 and I'd be happier. But what's their incentive to keep improving the software if at the moment it's free? So if you say, well, if you pay for it, they might add some features. Well, not going off the last 12 years. Because it was a paid-for thing back then, and they didn't bother. It's like, I can't be bothered keeping this up to date. Do you know what? Let's just make it free. They're clueless with software. Clueless. So Renee likes the plugins. I guess if you're, like I say, if you're editing video, whereas I'm editing screen recordings, then yeah, it must have amazing things. But then it's what you get used to, isn't it? And sometimes an app that doesn't seem as powerful can do the job. I remember this woman. We were at this podcasting thing. So obviously it was all podcasters and it was audio that we were talking about. I can't remember whether she was doing, as a podcast, a video podcast. But this particular app was mentioned. So it was, what do you use? And I think at the time we were using Hindenburg. And it was like, ugh. As though that was, I mean, it's not cheap, Hindenburg. And it's specific for audio, radio work, really. It started its life as a radio editor. And I can totally understand that. It makes total sense when you understand what it was aimed to be. So I'm sure she mentioned something like Sony Vegas or something like that. It was some high-end thing. So I said, and that's what you use? Yes. So I said, oh, and, you know, do you find it okay? Were there any issues with it? Basically, she couldn't use it. She hadn't got a clue. Well, I'm going to be doing some training on it. So I said, so you're not starting until you can actually use that. And, you know, we were talking about things like Audacity, which is totally free. Twisted Wave is amazing. That's less than £100. But she said, no, I have to use the best. And I thought, the best is the one that you get the job done with, dear. Not the one that costs the most that you can't actually use. But that was her mentality. It had to be the very, very best. But, you know, then ensues like 15,000 YouTube videos about why X is better than Y. And I'm like, and you're wasting your life sitting there watching these things. You use what suits you. Affinity Photo is way more logical than Photoshop ever was. And it also has features that Photoshop doesn't have. Right, let me catch up in here. Premiere's not that bad. I used Premiere in anger once. I've demoed it and I know it, but in terms of actually making videos in it, I used it once. And it was back in the days of a fairly slow internet connection, and I already had Premiere installed because I'd installed the entire suite. I had not installed Final Cut Pro, and there I am with this video. I thought, oh, it doesn't need much. I'll do it in Premiere. So I sit looking at Premiere, not a clue. Brand new interface, new version. I thought, oh dear. And then I thought, well, I'll just try the same keys that I use in Photoshop. And they all worked. So it was a complete doddle. A complete doddle. So yeah, I think you need to be able to switch between applications. Learn the principles. I mean, blend modes are blend modes are blend modes. It doesn't matter where they are. So learn the principles. Don't get hung up on this button here and that button there. Get the principles first, and then you would be able to change. And not just in a negative way, i.e., oh, it's gone subscription, so I've got to change from A to B. You might actually be able to sit there and think, do you know what? I think B might be a better option for me. So we're back to having that checklist of, if my app goes subscription, dies, Google buy it, which is one and the same thing. You are in a position to know exactly what the important features are and what you would need in the new app to be able to switch. I'm finding what I wrote about that, because I did. There it is. There we go. That's what I do about it. What's your exit strategy? And you need an exit strategy before you even need an exit strategy, if you know what I mean. You need to know what you'd do if any app on your system died. The ones that I keep really up to date in terms of if I add a function to them or a feature via extending them, then I know that gets added to my checklist for that particular app. So you're looking at things like Alfred, Audio Hijack, Loopback, anything where you're in a position where if it went, you'd have a problem. And I just keep those in my wiki. And should something happen where something's broken, then I will just switch from one to the other. But I know what functionality is absolutely critical.
I had a good one today.
Go on.
I decided in my wisdom to update my phone.
Oh, dear.
The apps, that is, not the OS.
I was going to say, good grief. No, not You've the not OS. Gone iOS 14 already,
no,
have you?
No, no. Because one or two of the apps were nagging me. When you go into the credit card app, when you go into the bank app, it says there's an update, and it does let you continue without updating, but it's now offering you to update from within the app. So I thought, well, I might as well do it. So I went to the app store, and I didn't click update all, because some of them are on my old account, and some of them are on my new account. So I just did them one by one. And obviously I'm logged in on my new account, but I must have tapped update on one of the ones on my old account. And it asked me for my account, you know, my iCloud account name. So I put it in, and it did ask for the password, and I must have spelt the password wrong. And normally you get at least two attempts, don't you?
Yeah.
This didn't. It just locked my account.
Oh, for crying.
So I had to go to the iCloud website, log in. That told me that my account was locked. And then I needed to answer my security questions. Now, of course, I needed one password for that, because did you know that my first car was a random string of letters and numbers?
As I recall it, didn't we get told we didn't need those anymore? Ah, second account, not two-factored.
It's not two-factored, yeah.
Yeah, you do still need them then.
Yeah.
I feel your pain. Been there.
So I still haven't updated the apps.
Oh, that's a bit much, isn't it, Jonathan? Take screenshots to prove the Manchester store was closed. Can't they do that? You know, it's on their website. Jonathan's got a problem with a keyboard. Yeah. And they're giving him the runaround. Steve Jobs would have had someone's head for that. He would. He would. And that was the thing. It didn't. If something like that happened, well, it wouldn't happen. It wouldn't happen because the average person would assume that the only person you knew at Apple was Steve Jobs. And if they give you bad service, it'd be Steve Jobs you'd be telling. And if Steve Jobs found out, it would be like Gibbs on NCIS. They didn't behave badly because they knew he was there. And now he's not there, it's like any rubbish will do. It's unbelievable, the service. Or lack of it. Jonathan doesn't do video editing, keyframes and stuff. Oh, we need to do hype, don't we, Jonathan? That's got keyframes, animations. Ooh, there's a video. Right, I'll grab that link and I'll watch that later. And Anthony's was done in Premiere. Premiere's very good. It is very good. It suffers from the kind of Adobe interface issues that, you know, everything's the size of a pinhead. But apart from that, it's fairly decent. All of them are fairly decent. Just depends on what you want to do. I just don't get people who have got basic needs feeling that they need Final Cut. I want to top and tail a video. I need Final Cut. No, you do not need Final Cut. You can do that in QuickTime. As Mike found out last week when I said, he was saying, I've got this video and I want it in chunks. And I'm like, well, why don't you just duplicate it and then crop it, you know, trim it. In QuickTime. Just QuickTime, trim it. Oh, yeah, 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 Mike. And now you know that, don't you? He didn't know that before. Oh, Tracy's up to 300. Where am I up to in the feed, Tracy? You're likely to know that way more than me. Let me have a look. I'll have a look in feeder. Oh, I'm up to 320. So I'm 20 ahead of you at the moment. This is like an episode of The Chase, isn't it? I've got 27 to get up there. But I've also got so much to do. But they are edited. They are edited. They just need adding to the feed, which you'll find out was more difficult than it should have been in After Hours. And I give you my sad, sorry tale from this week in tech. This week, what broke this week? So yes, there's 320 up there. But you're going through them at such an alarming rate, Tracy. You're going to catch up with me and probably lap me at some point. You know, it's surprising, Jonathan, that they didn't actually want you to go to the Arndale. Isn't the entire Arndale shut? Or are some places open? Oh, hello, Paul! Do you know, every encounter with Apple in the last 5 years has put me off. And that doesn't matter if it's online, if it's a repair, if it's going in store. Everything puts me off. It's just icky. Like the last time we went into the store to buy something was the AirPods. And I was buying, Mike wasn't. So I got the first guy and he said the guy in the other shirt will come over. So he'd obviously, I'd said to the guy, I want to buy these AirPods. So the guy came over with the AirPods in his hand and said, there you go, sir. Which, that's bad. That is really bad. He didn't even, I mean, what I would do is kind of stand there and think, okay, it could be for both of them, could be for either of them. So I would just stand there and say, here's the AirPods, maybe put them on the table, but not hand them to the guy. Oh, that really is the definition of everyday sexism. It really is. And it's annoying when you're the one buying. You know, you're stood there with the money. But it's as though Mike has to authorise any purchases because I'm the little woman. Yeah, that's never, ever going to end well, Apple. And it didn't. I told him straight what I thought of it. And he did look actually quite mortified. But I see the training Mike goes through for diversity. And some of it is utterly ridiculous. But as a principle, not making somebody else feel uncomfortable, we should all be into that. And to me, that's on there. It's a bit like when I don't know somebody, I would never say your wife or your husband, because you never know. You just never know. And it shouldn't matter. So it's trying to be neutral. But Apple don't bother with that. That's not the first time that's happened. I doubt it'll be the last. The guy at PC World, when he tried that, his ears are still ringing. In fact, Mike gave him a telling off over that. I didn't even have to open my mouth. I did. I followed up, obviously, after Mike. It was like a double whammy. But Mike actually said to him, it's sort of a bit off. We were stood there together and I'd asked a question about this modem. It was a very early broadband modem. You may remember them. They looked like a fish on the desk, like a starfish. And it was that or nothing. So I had a question about this thing because they had two of them. So I asked for the technical person and the technical person came across. I asked the question and he addressed the answer to Mike. He actually turned his back on me and addressed the answer to Mike. Mike was just stood there looking over this guy's shoulder who was stood in front of him at this point, just shaking his head as I'm stood behind grinding of teeth in the Elaine area. And then I didn't need to speak. Mike put him right. And then he turned round and I gave him both barrels as well. It's just downright rude. It's like assuming. I mean, I've seen it with kids. Kids are there. And, you know, maybe the parent is the one, you know, buying the toy. But trust me, it's the kid that knows all the tech. And you need to acknowledge that. But no, they don't. They're just rude. Oh, Apple could definitely do with some training. I'm reading about the password thing here with Kim. I think they should give you two goes if you get a password wrong, because your password's supposed to be that complicated. The other thing with an Apple password, which I really don't think he's on, if you're on an iOS device, particularly this is worse on a phone, if you're on an iOS device and it prompts you for your password and you think, it's okay, got it in one password, hold my beer, stand there, I'll be back in a minute. And you switch context from where it's asking you for your password into 1Password. You copy it, you go back to where you were, there's the dialogue box, you try and paste it in, it has just hung. It won't let you do that. You have to go get the password first, then go into the app, and then at the point it asks you for the password, hope that the password, in 1Password, there's an option, how long a password exists on the clipboard. So if you've got it set to like clear it immediately or 15 seconds and you don't get to the right place within 15 seconds, you're going to have to start again. By which point, it's probably going to want two-factoring or want you to go unlock your account. It's an absolute farce. It's security gone potty. But that's what they do. Right, catching up. I'm confused the hell out of Jonathan as well. It's not difficult, Jonathan. It's a starting point. So imagine that you've got a square on frame 1 and an ending point. You've got a circle on frame 15. And if you're working at 15 frames a second, then what happens between keyframe number 1, where the square is, and keyframe number 15, where the circle is, the in-between frames, also known as tweens, will morph the square into the circle. Simple as that. That's all 2 keyframes are. What you're saying is, in this keyframe, I want it to be a square, and in that one, I want it to be a circle. But the other ones, I want you to take care of and morph A into B. Simple as that. I shall put hype on my list. ScreenFlow is good for quick and dirty editing. I use ScreenFlow for 12 years. And I did all of my editing in there. I did supplement it, I'll grant you. It's got a few quirks when it comes to text and stuff, lower thirds. So I did supplement it with Affinity Designer from 2015. But it's very, very good. You could certainly do an assembly edit in there. If it's screencasting, then you can take it the whole of the way. I personally find Camtasia better, but they've both got their quirks. My biggest problem with video editors, dedicated video editors that aren't screen recording apps, is the lag when you're moving across the video. The last time I tried Final Cut, it was just render. And I thought, I can't be dealing with this. Because ScreenFlow doesn't need to render it, neither does Camtasia, because it's native recording to the application. So for me, it's better. That's just me. Ooh, Jonathan's got someone on his team who's a whiz with Premiere. He's trying to show me what he does and I just feel inferior. He's in his early 20s, so basically a child. If I'd have said that to you, Jonathan, 8 years ago, you would have denied you were basically a child. Oh. You didn't know QuickTime could trim. Be using iMovie. Thing with QuickTime is it's way faster because you're not particularly like re-rendering it out. But it's very, very simple. What are the options? I mean, basically, you've just got like a trim at the beginning and trim at the end. You trim it and then say save it and you're done. It's amazing because there used to be an app and I cannot for the life of me remember what it's called. I wonder if I could find it by looking for...
The one with the 4 dots.
No, not that one. The shiny white box one. Have I really not put that in there? Ah, no, there you go, shiny white box.
I show you.
Shiny white box, make I show you. Okay. That doesn't look good. It's telling me that password's not great. Oh, ye gods, it's not either. Right, they make I show you, which is basically a ScreenFlow clone, and it existed before ScreenFlow, but they also had another application and all it did was trim, so you had to get a dedicated application to do that, but I can't remember the name of it and they don't sell it anymore. The other one we were looking at was a free one, wasn't it? It was a free video app. Was it something 5, hence the dots?
Was it Stomp?
Ah, Stomp was the one from Shiny White Box.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking on. You could still download the DMG.
Good grief. Let me see if I did actually purchase that. Stomp. And Stomp used to just allow you to top and tail. No, I didn't. No, expand to all fields, but I don't think that's going to make much difference. No.
Was it Media something?
It definitely began with an M, didn't it? And its interface, it was an editing app. And it had like an interface where it would load in your video. But prior to your loading in your video, there were like five circles on it. And we mentioned it a million times on MacBytes, I'm sure we did. It was amazing for a free app. It really was. And was it Square something?
Yeah.
Square Media 5, was it 5 Square?
Something like that.
Oh, I hate it when I can't remember things. Video, let's have a look. MPEG stream clip.
That's right.
It wasn't Square 5, that's it was Squared 5. Right, does this still work?
Well, I've got a DMG, so I'll try running it.
Hang on. No, I wouldn't if I were you.
Why?
Because the one I'm downloading, hang on. Oh, no. Is there a whole... Good grief.
It says it needs to be updated.
Yeah, well, it says, right, if you want the release version, that would be the 10th of August, 2008.
Oh.
There's a beta version. That's the 20th of August, 2012. This isn't looking good. Lion and Mountain Lion, Snow Leopard. Oh, this is lovely going back, isn't it? Like a walk through Apple history. No, I don't. I think we can safely say that's not really going to work anymore, is it? Yeah, it's still there. That was the most amazing app. Squared 5 MPEG stream clip. That would do all kinds of things. Who remembers that? Who used it? I don't know what I said, Tracy, but I'm glad you liked it. Oh, Dr. B's had his second jab and is better than last time. That's excellent news. That was pretty quick, wasn't it? Kath's still not had her second and we're into March on Monday. She had hers in December. So I think it's just a case of like whenever. That's pretty much what's going on over here. We know quite a few people now who have actually had them. So they're definitely moving down the age groups. Ellen's had hers. Stuart's had his. Kaz has had hers. Which is quite worrying because Kaz is 10 years younger than I am. Yeah, that's worrying. But never mind. They'll get round to us in the end. It'll happen. So Jonathan says, from what he's read, you're more likely to get a reaction second time around. Your body recognises it and mounts a response. I don't know many people who've had two. Only Joe. Joe's had two and he was okay. I think he had the Pfizer one. He had no reactions at all. But I think the only other person I know who's actually had the second is Dr. B. So fingers crossed that Dr. B, I mean, I would say couldn't be much worse than last time, but if it was bad last time, you'd be really worried, wouldn't you? If there's supposed to be a response this time. You're thinking, well, there was a response last time. Maybe he already had some kind of immunity. And that's why it took him so bad. There was somebody who was actually on today and they were saying that we probably will need some kind of booster every year. You're thinking, what on earth is in this rubbish they're injecting? But apparently that's not being mentioned much in the States because this guy was in the States. But he was a little bit concerned about that you're supposed to get a flu jab every year and they just basically have a guess at what the flu is going to be. I mean, you might as well just put money on a horse. But that's just me. I'm deciding that not going out of the house and seeing other people, I feel really healthy. I think it's mingling with people that's the problem. I did have lots of stuff, though, come up, you know, because it's ladies' night season. Mm. You know, like 2-3 years ago, we went on this dinner, we went to this dinner, we went to this party, we did this, we did that. And like this year, it's like, yeah, nothing. In fact, it's a year for us on the 6th of March. Maroon's birthday is the 15th, 16th, isn't it? 16th. But Kim's way before that. Kim is the second. But we were 4 days behind you, Kim. Have you got your second date yet, Jonathan? It's Some apps don't allow pasting into the password field. Now, that's another thing. They don't. You're quite right. Sometimes you can get around that. Sometimes not. That annoys me because I can understand where it comes from, Paul. But it's prehistoric because the more secure my password is, the less likely it is that I'm going to be able to type it. So copying and pasting from a password manager is going to be more secure. And yet they don't particularly let you do that. Sometimes on the Mac, you can get around that. If you try Command and V, it doesn't work. But the programmers are that stupid. They've not actually disabled the right click where you can paste as much as you like. And I always think when that happens, idiots. Websites annoy me, particularly in Firefox, because I have the 1Password extension in Firefox, but it only works with the web service, the subscription 1Password thing, which I've got, that's fine. But there's nowhere in the extension to tell it not to lock itself every 5 minutes, which means I've then got to log in. It's very, very annoying. Chrome-based browsers that can use Chrome extensions, you've got two options. You can use the cloud service online, which is great for Mike at work because he wouldn't have 1Password installed. But you can also use the one that uses the desktop version, and therefore you've got the desktop options not to be logged out every time you look at it. It's just so annoying. But that's a matter of like programming it properly, because another thing that annoys me even more, I mean, it's annoying on the desktop, but on iOS, it's infuriating. When you go to a site and it says, well, for a start, the sites invariably assume you don't have an account. So whenever you try and log in, the first thing you see is a page to create an account. Half the time, I haven't read that. And I'm putting my details in. It says this email can't be used. And I'm like, oh, for crying out loud. You know, this is the create an account page, not the login page, despite the fact that the button said login. So I click the tiny thing at the bottom, the size of a pinhead, that says, have you already got an account, log in here. Then it wants your email address. But I've got 1Password. So as soon as I tap in there, 1Password pops up and says, do you want to use this? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But it only takes the email or the username. It then insists on going to another page and asking for the password. But 1Password, you then have to go through the 1Password dance twice instead of once. That makes zero sense to me. Can't understand anybody who would program a website like that. Because if you test that on any device, and obviously with a phone, my phone's an 11, so it's doing the face recognition thing, so it's not as bad as it could be. But can you imagine having to go through the fingerprint malarkey to get into 1Password twice, when once would do? There's just something wrong with these programmers. This is why I say not everybody should be a programmer. It depends if you've got logic in your head. Just like not everybody could be a dentist. I mean, my cousin trained as a dentist. He qualified as a dentist. He practiced as a dentist. I could have told you when he was 7 years old and proclaimed his intention to be a dentist that he would never make a dentist in a million years. No people skills. Zero people skills. How long did he last as a dentist? 5 minutes. What did I say he should do? Be a computer programmer. What's he doing now? He's a computer programmer. You know, people are better at certain jobs. He had a logical brain. He was not great with people. He'd have been a great computer programmer. And I presume he is. Dentist? Not so much. No way. No way. And some people should not be programmers. They don't have the logic for it. And unfortunately, that's not something that you can really train somebody in. Maybe Kim can tell us, do they give you kind of people-pleasing classes at dental school? Or are you pretty much left to it? Because the kind of dealing with patients I would have thought was really important for a dentist. Because there aren't many people that get closer to you than that. I'm not keen on opticians myself, but you know me with people. You're in my space. The 20 metres in any direction, you're inside it. Can you move? That's just me. But dentists, you've got to have something special to be a dentist. Same with a computer programmer. There you go. I think we'll give Jonathan a 101 in keyframe so he can beat this whippersnapper at work. That's what we'll do. Jonathan's going off. Do you think he's having a power nap? A power nap. That'll be it. Oh, Paul used I Show You for a while. It was the one to have, wasn't it? Because the other one, the only other one, when I bought my Mac, which was 2006. Oh, what was that one called? The one from the Ambrosia people. Yeah. That was the only one at the time. This Ambrosia had a screen recorder. And the
for
mouse...
Google Ambrosia, it'll come up rice pudding.
Well, try screen recording. Ambrosia screen recording.
Ambrosia Mac. Then it comes up there. Macaroni. Ambrosia software. Oh. Snaps Pro.
Snaps Pro X, that was it. It was absolutely useless. So I Show You was like a breath of fresh air. Only problem with I Show You was I had a technical query and I put in a ticket and then I didn't hear anything. So I put another ticket in, didn't hear anything. So I thought, well, clearly not bothered. Not great in the support department as far as I was concerned.
They mostly did games.
They did, but they dabbled with audio stuff and video stuff. So it was like the poor man's rogue amoeba.
Yeah.
The difference was they took people's money for something like a week before it stopped working, and that was it. They just shut up shop with that, which was very poor. We're not talking cheap software either. It was like over £100. People had it was basically Loopback. But Loopback took years to come. Luckily, Loopback is just perfect. Everything from Rogue Amoeba is perfect. So just buy the lot. Everything from them is fabulous. And they do support it and they always update it. If they're making changes, they give you lots of notice. So they are fantastic. This Snaps Pro was shocking. I Show You was a lot better. But then ScreenFlow came out and it just took over. They did it in a very clever way. They gave a free copy to everybody who went to Macworld. And obviously, when they got a free copy of something that was retailing for like about £100, they were all doing reviews on it. And that's how come it took over. I Show You still there. There's a studio version, but pretty much he's a one-man band. So they got more publicity out of it. And that was that. It feels more than 28 days, Tracy. But I guess it could be because time's flying, isn't it? Oh, Tony's got his booked for the first. Good grief. That's like 3 days. Follow-up vaccines likely due to variants. Oh, we've got plenty of those. We have plenty of variants in the UK. And another outbreak in Manchester somewhere. A little bit further north than us. You got vaccination care when you got the first one. And several slots for vaccinations, not just two. Cards, vaccination cards. Okay. I see. That should have like the number on and what you've had so they know what you've had. Anthony had a tutor at college. Obviously knew his stuff, but he didn't know how to teach it. That's the thing. Maybe he would have made a great dental teacher. But like Kim says, you've either got it or you haven't. And he didn't. But what happened was he needed a lot of dental work himself as a child. So he gets to this dentist and he takes out something like of his milk teeth, something like 9 teeth. They were that bad. Then when the new ones came in, the adult teeth, he had some kind of coating put on them. Not a veneer, some kind of coating. Mainly the back ones, I think, basically varnishing them to make them stronger because he hadn't looked after the first set, basically. And obviously he was going backwards and forwards a lot. So he then said, I'm going to be a dentist. But, you know, when I was his age, I said I was going to be an astronaut. Not the best idea I've ever had, but his mum pounced on it and that was it. From that moment on, he was going to be a dentist. No matter what. And there was a thing here. I don't know if you did this, Kim. If you did, then it would seem quite normal to you. If not, you'll think we're barking here, which I can concur. We are indeed barking here. But when you get to 18 and you're doing your A-levels to get into university, once you've got your spot at university, they tell you that in the summer, between leaving school and going to university at 18. You need to bring some teeth with you. And I'm listening to this like, pardon. You need to bring some teeth with you. I said, where are you supposed to get teeth from? Dentists. You're supposed to go around local dentists, introduce yourself, you know, and ask for some teeth because you need to take them with you to university. Well, I'm rolling on the floor laughing at this. The prospect of him being able to do that. No people skills. Did I mention no people skills? And if you turned up without them, then you know, you got a black mark. So what did he do? His mum went round all the dentists and tried sweet talking him into giving her some teeth for her son who was starting university. And I thought, if that had been me, it'd have been like, well, where's your son? If he can't come round and ask for his own teeth aged 18, there's something wrong. No people skills. There you go. No people skills. So you usually go to teach or research. I don't think he had a personality for teaching either. Research, possibly. There you go. Maybe research. They put stickers on the card showing the vaccine and the lot number. That sounds like Mayor had a pet passport, not for leaving the country. It was like his vaccine passport from being a pop. And the vaccines came in a box with labels on, and they put one label on their records and one on the passport, and you kept the passport. Although I do like Tracy's idea of a digital card that I keep hold of, that they can only read. That's genius. That's genius. But no, that's going to take years. You put on a pit and fissure sealant so you're less likely to get decay. That's what he had. A sealant is how I would have called it. Yes, like that. And his teeth were great after that. But obviously by then he'd got there, I'm going to be a dentist bug, so I don't think he had a filling after that. But then after losing 9 milk teeth, you probably, his teeth were black, literally black as a child. So that's why they had to pull them out, because otherwise they'd have fallen out on their own, wouldn't they? You know, he was about 7, so that's about the age. But no, they were that bad, he had to take them out. Oh, Kim had to bring a jar of teeth to dental school and you practiced on them for the first year or two. Also practiced on plastic. Well, in that case, you won't find that bizarre. But to me, that was like a bit weird. I would have expected something a little bit more organised, where the dental school provided them. You know, where dentists could send, you know, donate the teeth to the dental school and divvy them up, rather than have to go round yourself. But that was the thing, you had to go round yourself. Plastic teeth's a good idea, though, isn't it? Vaccine passports were the way we're going to go. We're talking about having them here because people can't seem to get away on holiday fast enough. And this is the problem. We've done brilliantly with the vaccine here. So brilliantly that Germany, don't mention the war, have said they're jealous of how well we've done. And Germans are renowned for organisation. But the problem is, right, let's say we get all ours done by the end of July. People can't get out the country fast enough for a holiday. Me, I'd brick the airports up, because they're going places like Germany, where they've managed to vaccinate 200,000 people since December. Us, 17 million. So I think it's safe to say at that rate, they'll have about a million done by then. People could bring it back because they could carry it even if it doesn't affect them. We need the whole world sorting out before we do daft tricks like I need a holiday. I need a holiday as well from complete COVIDiots. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen, does it? Because everybody just can't get out the door fast enough. I can only imagine the size of the peak when everywhere opens up again and that happens. Oh, but doubtless we'll be here and we'll be sharing it. There you go. You also had to draw teeth for a year so we would know what perfect teeth look like. This is fascinating, Kim. I don't know what I was expecting from dental school, but not that. Tony can't find anything, Mike.
I know.
Can you deal with that?
I don't know what I can do.
Well, hang on. If you delete the pending...
I don't know if I can delete the pending.
I thought you could delete the pending.
I will have a look.
If Mike can delete the pending and you go through the process again, then you should get them. Paul is also worried about how people can carry it even after being vaccinated, not good for travel. My thoughts entirely. We're just not going to know until it happens, are we? But how many more people have to die before other people think, do you know what? Maybe I could have a staycation this year. Just 1 year. You know, just one. That's fine. But no, holiday bookings are skyrocketing. I don't know whether it's kind of a mentality thing that they're trying to get away from lockdown. And the best way in their mind they can do that is go abroad. So it's a total change of scene. But you've no idea what issues that will cause. The rest of the world is definitely not where we are with the vaccines. Nowhere near. And you might, well, they might think, oh, well, I've had my vaccine, so I'm fine. But you don't know. And plus the fact, it's not even like, could they carry it? Yeah, what about a variant? They could pick up a variant while they're abroad that the vaccination they've had doesn't touch. But still, they want to go on holiday. I'm going to be marooned till at least Christmas, and I don't mean this one. Could well be the one after. Because I rather like living. And there's nothing out there that's worth dying for. And I don't think we're at a point where we can say that we know even 50%. Can you imagine a year ago saying a year from now we'll be sat here and we'll be 5 days away? No, 7 days away from being in the house for a year. And I would have said, no, don't be ridiculous, 12 weeks and it'll be sorted. But yet here we are. And people are making predictions about things they want to do in July. And I'm thinking, could still be in lockdown by then, because you just don't know. There are two areas of the country that the infection rates are going up. Despite the vaccinations, two areas they're going up. And I'm not talking like, you know, some little village somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Yorkshire. The figures in Yorkshire are climbing despite the vaccinations. Doesn't make any sense, but that's what's happening. Definition of staycation is different than mine. Staycation is staying home, not somewhere else in the country. That's because you've got a big country, Kim. Here we call a staycation staying in the country. And the idea is that you support British businesses who have suffered in the last year. So it's anywhere in the UK. It could even be Scotland or Wales, another country. But that's what we say is a staycation. I mean, there are staycations where you basically stay home. A more common interpretation here is having a holiday in the UK, which is not the done thing. I would reckon at least 80% of people who go on a holiday want to leave the country, which I think is barking insane, particularly at the moment, but that's up to them. Staying home and going out for days. That can be really good though, Anthony, can't it? Going out for days can be amazing. You get to see so many more places and you can be more flexible. You can work around the weather. Oh, yeah. Going out for days is fabulous. Kim said 3 years from the jump. I think you're spot on, Kim. You don't want to be president, do you, at all? I know there's not an option at the moment, but, you know, might not be long. You should definitely be in charge of all of this, you know. Renee's going to stay for another 6 months easily, maybe the next lockdown birthday. I agree, it's just the safest way to go. I mean, the things that are out there, like having your hair cut, having your nails done, stuff like that, drinking in a pub, it just doesn't, it's not critical to me. So I look at it as like how ill you could be, how you could impact other people against just staying in the house and stay in the house. Simple as that. A friend just posted their appointment for the jab online. The appointment is with Dr. COVID. And you ask why I don't trust the system. There you go, just saying. Anyway, we're going to head off because we've got to get ready for 9 o'clock. And trust me, at the moment, not much is ready. So am I going to be able to do it in 55 minutes? Well, we'll see, won't we? Might be a short show, but we do have an unboxing. So I've got to make sure that the cameras are working because they can be very moody, can't they, Mike? Very, very moody cameras. So I'm going to make sure that they're working. But for the moment, I'm going to say good night from me.
And good night from me.
And we will both see you later. Stay safe, guys.